chwili. I don't know if you're like me, that sometimes somebody asks you a question and you know the answer perfectly well. What's your phone number, John? And you go, and it just, and then you sort of get the first half and then you get the second half and your mind's kind of gone blank, even though you know the answer. And I wonder if sometimes we're like that when somebody says to us, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And perhaps we think, oh yeah, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There, that's the gospel. And then you think, I wonder if the gospel's a bit more than that, because we have four books in the Bible called gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And perhaps I should say that's the gospel. Those are the gospels. And then there's people who say, but is the gospel a bit more? I mean, the gospel's in other parts of the Bible, like the New Testament. And here in Galatians, we hear about gospel, and in other books. Galatians, I don't know if you remember this, when Terry opened the series that we're looking at now under Galatians, he said, do you realize it's about 3,100 words? Now, for him as a professor, that's like nothing. You know, his doctoral thesis was many more words than that. How do you squeeze the gospel into 3,000+ words? What is the gospel? What would you say was the heart of the gospel? I wonder if, when you're thinking about what is the gospel, would you say, yeah, the gospel, four words. You are Abraham's seed. Not the first thing that came into my mind when I was thinking, you know, what is the gospel, when Terry asked that question. But very interesting in the passage that we've got in front of us that it mentions you are Abraham's seed. And it seemed to be very important to Paul, writing to the Galatians, to tell them this. You are Abraham's seed. I haven't got many words to put on this piece of parchment that I'm going to send to you in the book of Galatians, this letter. But I'm going to use some of my space to say this to you. You are Abraham's seed. If you were in Sunday school and I said to you, whose name is mentioned most in the New Testament? You'd all go, Jesus, which would be right. Whose name is mentioned second most often in the Bible, and you'd think in the New Testament, and you'd probably say, well, I guess it must be Paul. I mean, he seems to have written a lot of the New Testament. So, you know, I, Paul, this, and yes, Paul. Okay, Paul. Third most common name, and I remember being astounded by this when my dad said it, is Abraham. Third most common name in the New Testament is Abraham. So, let's have a look at this. What is the gospel? This is what Terry put up in front of us. He said, the gospel is unique. It's not just a kind of a mishmash of other things. Gospel is unique. There's a number of things that we have been looking at as part of this series in the gospel. Where does the gospel come from? It comes from God. And what about apostles? We get the message about the gospel from people who saw it and who were specially sent to spread that news. Gospel includes our response in faith. The gospel includes our understanding of what God's law is, what it means to be a child of God, and how we are set free from slavery. What freedom means is a particularly important part of Galatians. What is life as a Christian? How do we behave? And the gospel includes all of these different parts, if you like. And I think that the gospel actually doesn't just confine itself to the New Testament. We can't really understand the gospel if we only start at Matthew, because so much of the gospel builds on an understanding of who God is, what the law is, what freedom is, what holiness is, and that's all in the Old Testament. And so the gospel is really from Genesis to Revelation rather than just in John 3:16. You are Abraham's seed. And I want us to look at that first word to start off with. You are Abraham's seed. When Paul wrote it to the Galatians, it seems that he was very concerned that some people were going to lead the Galatians astray. We don't know exactly what they said. We can only infer it from how Paul answered it. But Paul said, you know, you do not have to become a Jew. You do not have to be, if you're a man, be circumcised in order to become a Christian. You are Abraham's seed. Not only if you're circumcised, only if you become a Jew, but you, whoever you are in Galatia, outside of Israel, if you like, you are Abraham's seed. What makes you Abraham's seed is if you belong to Christ. So in the passage that we've just been looking at, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, it says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. If you are clothed with Christ, in verse 27, that is how you become Abraham's seed. And he goes into some explanation and exegesis of the Old Testament passages that talk about Abraham's seed. And he says, it's seed singular, and it applies to Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, because Christ was that promise. He was the seed of Abraham, the ultimate expression of the promise to Abraham. So if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed because of that and because of nothing else. You are Abraham's seed through faith, verse 26. He says, those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What made Abraham God's friend? What made him that man of faith? It was his faith. And it's through faith that we follow in the footsteps of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. And therefore, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. You, whether you were previously a Jew in Galatia, whether you were previously a Gentile in Galatia, you are Abraham's seed. You, whether you're a free person in Galatia or whether you're a slave in Galatia, you are Abraham's seed. You, whether you're a man who could be circumcised or a woman who couldn't be circumcised, are Abraham's seed. You are Abraham's seed. And then the next word is you are Abraham's seed. It's not like only after a probationary period, only after you've gone through an initiation rite, only after we've sat an exam and answered all the questions correctly. You are Abraham's seed. You are now Abraham's seed. Now, he says, faith has come. That's in verse 25. And there's this lovely expression, this lovely little passage about when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. And it's got the imagery of a little drop, you know, drop by drop. Something was filling up, and when it was full, when it was fully come, then God sent his son. And if you are alive in the time after God sent his son, and you are in Christ by faith, then you are Abraham's seed. The time has fully come. You are Abraham's seed. The promise has been fulfilled in Christ. You are Abraham's seed. You are Abraham's seed. You remember Abraham was given that wonderful promise about his offspring being as many as the stars in the heavens. I'm going to read a little bit of Genesis chapter 15, which tells us a little bit about Abraham. If you want to have a look in the church Bibles, it's on page 15. Genesis chapter 15 on page 15 of the church Bibles. The Lord's covenant with Abram, who is later renamed Abraham. Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son, who is your own flesh and blood, will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Genesis 15 and verse 6. You are this man, Abraham, the man who believed the Lord. You are his seed. James chapter 2 verse 23 tells us that Abraham was called the friend of God. He was called God's friend. Nowhere else in the Bible do we actually find anybody given that title of being called God's friend. You are Abraham's seed. You are the seed of the man who is called friend of God. You are the seed of the man who believed the Lord. The man who had this great blessing given to him. In Genesis 12 we read, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You are Abraham's seed. It took 2 years to find the right piece of granite for the sculpture. Then it took 2 years to carve it. It was 167 tons when it started, 70 tons when it was finished, with 1,800 hand-carved nodes, modelled on patterns seen in sunflowers, snail shells and pine cones. It is simply called seed. We went to the Eden Project a little while ago, and in the educational bit of the Eden Project is this enormous stone seed. And it's like these people who are trying to produce in the Eden Project all sorts of plants and help us to understand how all these plants grow in all parts of the world. It's just amazing what a seed is. And so they've made this huge model seed out of a big lump of granite. You are Abraham's seed. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. And so Paul wants the people in Galatia to understand the gospel. The gospel is you are Abraham's seed. The seed is Christ, perfectly fulfilling all those promises made to Abraham. And in Christ, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And he wanted to make that clear because other folk were saying, well, you need to be circumcised. Interesting, N.T. Wright suggests a reason why these people might have been so keen for Christians to be circumcised. And he says what happens is there's been some recent archaeological research that suggests that there was a whole lot of emperor worship going on at the time of this letter to the Galatians, at the time when the Apostle Paul was writing to churches. And it seems to be more prevalent than had been previously thought. They're uncovering temples and altars and so on. And people were expected to say, Caesar is Lord, and I will burn some incense on an altar, and I will worship the Caesar. I will worship the Emperor of Rome. And it's into that context, he says, that what happened was they were told, if you don't, you know, do your stuff and worship at this temple, we're going to kill you. And the Jewish people said, here's my throat, slit it. I'm never going to worship another god because I'm a Jew. And following that, probably because the emperor thought, I'm not going to get many taxes if I kill all these Jews, he said, all right, everybody has to worship at a temple and worship me, and the Jews, as long as they pray for me in their own temple, I'll let them off. And so the Jews had a kind of special exempt status in the Roman Empire. Then along come these Christians. Where do the Christians fit in? Are the Christians Jews who are exempt, or are they Roman citizens who are not exempt? And the Christians are saying, Jesus is Lord, and I won't say Caesar is Lord. So these Christians are a bit like Jews. Well, look, just so you don't rock the boat, why don't you get circumcised and you just become basically a sect of Judaism, and then we won't get into trouble. And perhaps that's why there was all this pressure coming on Christians in that early church saying, why don't you get circumcised? Why don't you become, you know, basically Jewish, at least as far as the Roman authorities are concerned? And Paul was saying, no, 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 no. It doesn't make sense. How did Abraham become a friend of God? Was it because he got circumcised and then he was a friend of God? No. He was described as a friend of God first, and later on he got circumcised. Was it he was given this promise after he got circumcised? No, this promise came first, and then he got circumcised. So was it that his faith came after he got circumcised? No, his faith came first. And if you have faith, that's what's important. The circumcision was an outward sign of something that's inwardly real. And very much like we understand baptism, that you would want to be baptized if you were a Christian, but the water's not going to make you a Christian. It's your faith that makes you a Christian. And so he was saying, if you understand this, that you are Abraham's seed, you will understand you do not need to be circumcised. What matters is that you have faith. You are Abraham's seed. And it's not just Paul who talked about whether you could be a descendant of Abraham by just being a Jew. Jesus also said something about it. And I'd like to read to you from John chapter 8, where he had an argument and talked about what it means to be a descendant of Abraham. So in John chapter 8, and beginning at verse 31, if you want to follow it, it's page 1074, John chapter 8, and beginning at verse 31. John 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And so Jesus talked about Abraham, and he said, who are the true children of Abraham? They're the people who do what Abraham did. And you might describe yourself, he said to some of these Jewish people, you might describe yourselves as children of Abraham and children of God, but you're not doing what Abraham did. You're not doing what God did. You're doing what the devil does. You're lying and you want to murder, and therefore you are children of the devil. So Jesus too seems to encourage us to think about the gospel, about us being Abraham's seed by faith and by doing what Abraham did. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." If we're the seed of Abraham, we are sons of God. We cry out, "Abba, Father," by God's Spirit in us. Some people think that this bit of Galatians is modeled on a baptism service, like a liturgy that they used to have at a baptism. And they think that what happened was, in the very early church, when they had a baptism service — by the way, we're going to have a baptism service next Sunday morning, for anybody who doesn't know — when they had a baptism service, that the person would actually cry out, "Abba, Father. I've got God's Spirit in me now, and I'm going to call God my Father. God, Abba, Abba, Father." So Paul reminds them of that and says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." If we understand who we are, that we are Abraham's seed, it makes a difference to how we think about ourselves. But a very interesting book, and I like reading about the mind and how our minds think, and it's called Choke, and it's about how some people, under pressure and in difficult situations, they just kind of freeze and they can't perform. A bit like I was saying, when somebody asked me my phone number, sometimes I just can't remember it. And one of the things that they experiments they've done is in America with maths. People doing maths tests, they have these big tests with a lot of pressure on them over in America, just as we do here. And over in America in particular, it would appear, perhaps not dissimilar to us, that generally in America, people think that if you're Asian, you must be good at maths. And also, generally in America, people think that if you're a girl, you're not as good at maths as a boy. And very interestingly, they took some people who are just about to sit what they call their SAT tests over in America, going to do the maths paper. And before they did the paper, they divided them into two groups. And one set of girls, they were all Asian girls. One set of girls, they gave them a questionnaire. And the questionnaire was things like, how many generations of your family from Asia have lived in America? Various questions that just were making them think, I'm Asian, I'm Asian, I'm Asian. And the other group, they put in lots of questions about being a woman. So what do you think about single-sex education? You know, would you prefer to live in a college hall with just girls or mixed and so on? So they were thinking, I'm a girl, I'm a girl, I'm a girl. And then they went into the test to see what their results would be. And the ones who had focused on being Asian did better in maths because everyone in America knows Asians are good at maths. And the ones who had been thinking about I'm a girl did badly in their maths test because everybody knows girls aren't good at maths. What do we think about ourselves? Do we think, I am Abraham's seed? What difference does that make to us? And I think one of the things that Paul got very upset about was, well, I think there were two things actually he got upset about. One was, how dare people come along to genuine Christians who have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus and tell them they need to be Jews? And the other thing that he got really upset about was, and how could you, Galatians, be so crazy as to fall for this? Do you not understand? You don't need to be circumcised. You need to have the faith of Abraham. And Jesus told a story once about a son who said to his father, can I have my inheritance now? And he went away to another country and he took all this money and he had a great time partying and so on. And eventually the money ran out and he was forced to sit with pigs and feed the pigs. And he came to his senses and he said, I'm living now worse than my father's servants. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say sorry. And I'm going to say, Father, I'm sorry I've sinned against you and before heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's what I'm going to do. And so he went back to his father. And as he was on the way back to his father saw him. And his father ran to meet him. And he fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, this is my son who I've lost. And the son said, Father, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he never finished the sentence because his father said, oh, it's so great to see you. We'll kill the fatted calf, get a robe, get a ring, put it on his finger. You're going to be my son. You are my son. Can you imagine that son saying, no, really, I want to be one of your hired servants? Can you imagine it? And that's what Paul says he's saying to these Galatians. What on earth do you want to be circumcised for? Why do you want to go back to the law? Why do you want to be like slaves? Why do you want to go backwards? You've been made into sons and heirs. You have the spirit of sonship within you. You cry, Abba, Father. Why would you want to go back to being like under a guardian? I was under a guardian when I was 14. My parents lived abroad as missionaries. And I lived with my aunt and uncle. And they were my guardians. And guardians have a difficult job. But I can tell you, guardians are strict. They're more strict than your parents are. And it's described in Galatians about how the law is like a guardian. The law is like a guardian, somebody who looks after you on behalf of, you know, carrying out the instructions of and in place of your parents. to make sure that you get a good education. My aunt was so strict, she said, you can't go out late on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, because you've got school in the morning. And that means you can't go out late Sunday night either. So there's five nights, you've got school the next day. And you shouldn't go out late on a Saturday night because you've got church in the morning, six nights. And you can't go out Friday night because you should be doing your homework. She was strict. The law is like a strict guardian. Why would you want to go back to that? Have you not grown up? Have you not become now sons? What difference does it make if we understand that we are Abraham's seed? Well, first of all, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I don't want to steal the thunder of whoever's going to be preaching on Galatians 5 later on. But Galatians 5 is some of the practical applications of what Paul's been saying about his theology earlier on in the book. It is for freedom you've been set free. Stand firm. Stand in that freedom. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all Abraham's seed. There is no longer a dividing line between Jew and Gentile, between slave and free, between male and female. And therefore, serve one another humbly in love. And you have received the Spirit of sonship, if you are Abraham's seed. So let's live by the Spirit. Let's live by the Spirit, not by the law, but by God's Spirit. Let's serve him out of his Spirit within us, just wanting us to do the right things. And to me, the biggest reason to respond to understanding this part of the gospel, that we are Abraham's seed, is I think we should be grateful. There's this lovely, lovely verse in 1 John 3, verse 10. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Yes, we will go to heaven. Yes, we will inherit so much more. But we are already, we are children of God. What amazing love. What amazing grace. That is what we are. You are Abraham's seed. That is the gospel. Never forget it. Amen.